President Donald Trump is pressuring the Smithsonian Museums on their view of U.S. history. In a recent Truth Social post, he called the Smithsonian out of control. Quote, "Everything discussed is how terrible our country is, how bad slavery was. We asked visitors at the National Museum of African American History and Culture for their reactions."
It's unfortunate. I think it's really important to preserve American history, and African American culture is American history. Really understand so that we don't repeat history.
I don't believe the president has the right to change it because the next president won't believe in that and put it back. So you have to leave things as they were because that's the truth.
I don't think it's good to erase the past. Even though it's hard to see how our country used to be, I hope we can learn from our mistakes and come together as one instead of being separated.
I think our country is most successful when we don't forget where we came from, because we cannot repeat what we've done in the past that was so bad. We need to grow and learn by knowing our history, the real unvarnished truth.
You know, so many great comments there that I agree with. We have to know the unvarnished truth. We need to know our history. I'm really grateful to hear people saying those things. But the problem we have with the Smithsonian Institute network in Washington, D.C., is that they're not committed to the truth. They're committed to a skewed view of American history. The whole point is to agitate, to set people against each other, to major on groups and differences and grievances. And so the museum system there is really a mess. And I have to say that's why, with this America 250, that's why I've been doing my best, and I have been working with the commission to try to alert them to some of these things. I'm certainly not the only one. I'm a very small fly, a speck probably. But I'm real passionate about this. And so there's a new thing being undertaken, and it's a proposed Smithsonian Latino Museum. Now, my next guest refers to it as a woke indoctrination factory, and I think he's right about that. Because the many Latinos in our country and around the world, well, in Mexico, mostly Mexico, and I find, you know, actually I find a lot of Central American illegal immigrants or immigrants from those countries are kind of picking up the chip on the shoulder, the attitude that I deserve this entitlement thing that I think Mexicans have had. They didn't used to have that. They used to be just kind and sweet. And I'm making a broad generalization here, but you probably know what I mean if you live in a heavily Hispanic immigrant area. So, you know, they don't. So there's a twisting, and we don't need any more twisting of the history. And so this Latino museum, by the way, is being proposed by a number of Republicans and Democrats. And I think this, as I understand it, they've been persuaded by the Smithsonian director, Lonnie Bunch, that this is very important and they need to have that. But it's still in dispute. It's not a done deal. They are looking for property. And so we have time to do something about it. So I thought it was very important that we spend a few minutes to know about this, because for my part, the Black History Museum on the Mall is really does not belong there. And I know for a fact that inside those doors, there's just a lot of grievance. You know, it stirs the pot because that's what the left wants to do. They want to divide us in terrible ways instead of us appreciating each other's history. You know, I appreciate Black history very much. I used to spend a whole lot of time on Black history in my show in Chicago. I played interviews with slaves and just all kinds of history, and we had a good time. I mean, that is part of our history. Their history is part of our history. But when you start dwelling on the cruelty that Americans in the past had toward Black slaves, which is absolutely truthful, and you make it all about that, it's skewed. It's inaccurate. And so we're going to talk today about why this Latino museum might be a little bit of a danger to us in terms of the division in our country, and in terms of people really knowing real history. So I'm rooting for that. And to talk about that, we're going to be joined by Mike Gonzalez. Mike is Cuban. And I'll give you his long introduction when he joins us in a few minutes. But first, well, of course, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. And you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. And, you know, and if you're not a podcaster, you can go to sandyrios.com, and it's very simple to listen to it at that point. So You can catch us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, a whole bunch of other social media platforms. So if that's your favorite go-to, then check them out. If you like Telegram, we're there too. But before we proceed today with the discussion of Senator Tim Kaine's statement, I have to share this with you. Since the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in 2022, over 100 abortion clinics have shut down. Listen to that. You know, but here's the heartbreaking part. Now the abortion pill has taken their place. It's being pushed on women everywhere, and it now makes up more than 60% of all abortions. But there really is hope. Every single day, preborn is rescuing lives, about 200 babies every day, by simply loving their moms and showing them their child through an ultrasound. And when a mom sees her baby and hears the heartbeat, everything changes. And here's where you come in. Just $28 provides that ultrasound. Think about it. Less than the cost of dinner out, and you're literally giving a mom and her baby a chance at life and a chance to meet Jesus, which is really finding life in the deepest sense. So I'm asking you personally, will you join me in this? If you just go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy, it's $28 to provide one ultrasound to one girl to save one baby. So any multiple of that is welcome, and I think most people can afford to give something. Thank goodness the economy is a little bit better right now. So if you can do something to help these kids, I know you want to, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, sit back, you fellow Latinos. I'm not a Latino. I just have a Latino name. But I know a lot of Latinos. My children are half Latino, so I always enjoy talking to Mike. And these are things we need to think through for the sake of the future of our country on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
And today I'm in Washington, D.C., looking at potential sites for the future Latino Museum here on the National Mall. We have hundreds and hundreds of acres to choose from, and we're hoping that we'll get the cooperation and the support to make sure that we have the museum prominently displayed on the Capitol Mall, just like, as you can see, the amazing, amazing African American Museum just a few feet from where we're at right now.
All right. Well, the only thing I can say just hearing that is I know he's very excited. That's Congressman Tony Cardenas. He's very excited, but I hear the Latino music, and I guess part of me just, I know that America is a multicultural population, but we unite around being an American. We don't unite around our differences. Those things are things we can leave to our families. This is just off the cuff of my thoughts about this. It could be neighborhoods, communities, but it's not part of our nation to be Latino, to speak Spanish, to celebrate Latino culture. I don't think we do that on our nation's mall. That's my opinion before we even start this conversation. Well, my good friend Mike Gonzalez is with us today. Mike is such a fascinating guy. He is the senior fellow for the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. He writes about critical race theory, identity politics, diversity, multiculturalism, assimilation and nationalism, as well as foreign policy in general. I could say this is a long resume. I wish I could read the whole thing because I love it. He spent 20 years as a journalist. He worked for the Wall Street Journal. He oversees. He worked for a French press around the globe covering Afghanistan. He was arrested in 1987 covering the Nicaraguan battle down in Central America. He was with the Wall Street Journal for 11 years, Hong Kong deputy editor, and his book, his last book, is Next Gen Marxism: What It Is and How to Combat It, with Katie Gorka. And that's the last time we actually spoke. So, What a great resume, Mike. And it's always a privilege to just hear what you're thinking about all things. So thank you for joining us.
Hey, Sandy. What a pleasure it is to be on with you again. It's been too long. I would say that America is not multicultural. If I may correct you, I would say that America is multi-ethnic, but not multicultural, or should not strive to be multicultural. Sure, we have our local cultures. I was just earlier this week. I was in Austin, Texas, in Dallas, and Texas famously has its own culture, highly celebrated, which is different from the culture of Massachusetts and New England, where I was a month ago and where I went to college. New Englanders and Texans are both Americans, and they're both distinguished by attachments to self-governance, to natural rights, to natural law, and this is the culture that we should all have. So that's the first point that I want to make. The people who have wanted us to be multicultural have always hated America. There's a long pedigree of people who have wanted America to be multicultural rather than an assimilationist nation. The transnationalists in the early 20th century fought really hard to do that. They hated the idea of America, but they were defeated by both sides of the political aisle. People like Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson and Louis Brandeis, the Supreme Court justice, to name just a few, made sure that the assimilationist ethos won. So that's the first point. The second point is that you said that song was a Latino song. I don't recognize that song. I don't think it's a Latino song. I don't think it's Latino music. I don't think Latino music exists. I don't think there's Latino cuisine. I don't think there's Latino painting. I don't think Latino art exists. By that I mean, I think, for example, that there is. I happen to be a Cuban American. I would even hesitate to say this Cuban music. I think they're in Spanish it's called punto guajiro, which is the kind of music that I like. But I actually even like a special type of punto guajiro, which is the one from El Tabaco, the western part of Cuba where all the tobacco comes from, where my grandmother comes from. So Latino is the same thing as Hispanic, and these are ethnic categories created by the census. These are categories created by the U.S. government in 1977 by the Office of Management and Budget with Policy Directive number 15, and then slapped on the census for the first time in the decennial census of 1980.
Wow, I never thought about that. Never.
No, the activists, yeah, because the activists who wanted this, who really, 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 really wanted this for their own far leftist purposes, they said at the time, well, what we're going to have is collective amnesia. Once we officialize this category, people will forget that it never existed prior to this and will think that
yes,
this has been around forever. But I'm old enough, let me just finish with this, I'm old enough to, for example, remember my uncle coming into our row house in Queens in the mid-70s and saying, they're going to call us Hispanics now. And we were like, what? What is that about? Hispanic was a term, it's very ironic, used only by New Mexicans, and used by New Mexicans who used it as a way by upper class and middle class New Mexicans who wanted to distance themselves from Mexican immigrants and associate themselves with their European ancestors, because many, many New Mexicans have, you know, they just have European ancestors from Spain. So they call themselves Hispanic for that reason, but no Puerto Rican or Cuban or Guatemalan ever did. So this is all new, Sandy.
That's interesting. That is so interesting. I was just thinking, you know, I am a British, Irish, some Cherokee Indian, but this Cherokee Indian is not part of the discussion. But what if, you know, don't you think there's a lot of us Americans who have that blood in us? And French, also Italian, a lot of Italians, they're very proud of their heritage. Don't you think, Mike, if we're going to do this, we should put on the mall, we should have a museum to Italian culture, a museum to British culture, and a museum to Irish culture. I demand that as an American. That's my heritage. It should be there on the mall. It seems like that is kind of the flavor of what we're doing here.
That you put your finger on it, Why don't we? And why does nobody envision this? Why do they want a Hispanic museum? Why do they want an Asian museum? Why do they want an LGBTQIA museum? Because definitionally, these museums will be devoted to the idea that these are victim groups, that this is an oppressed group that is oppressed by the rest of the country, by America, in whose members the oppressor-oppressed narrative must be instilled, that these are museums only for the marginalized. In other words, what we have seen already of the Latino Museum, which has been a disgrace, disgraceful, it should never be built. Your listeners there should understand this should never be built because it will be anti-American. It will be used as a hothouse to create and foster grievances against the United States. And the reason for that is because definitionally that's what it has to be. It's not a group. The reason why you're never going to get an Irish American museum that's going to talk about the Irish who came during the potato famine and who fought in World War II and created Notre Dame University, et cetera, is because they're not part of the marginalized. And to instill in this synthetic group created by the government, not created by anybody else, to try to instill in its members a feeling of subordinate status, a feeling of victimhood, is exactly the opposite of what we should be doing as a country.
Right. You know what, just to interject, because this is like natural as breathing for you to talk about this, and somewhat to me too. The whole idea of oppressor and oppressed is that victimhood thing, and it comes out of communism, as Mike could wax eloquent on for hours. But I wanted just to make your point. When we were last in D.C., Michael, my husband and I decided to go to the National Archives. We always liked to, we lived there for so long, but we always liked to go see something else or refresh our memories. And so we go in, and there's this kind of the dark room, and I know, we all know about it. It's got this huge, beautiful ceiling, and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are there, and that's lovely. So then we went to the next room, and the next room featured the Magna Carta. It was fascinating. It was a great reminder. I can't even remember studying about the Magna Carta. So I was reading all of this, and then the next thing that happened, Mike, is we moved to the left, and first thing we saw was, but America did not hold to those ideals. And then you got this massive display of slavery that goes on and on and on, and how horribly black persons in this country were treated, which we all know is true, but they're trying to make a point. And then they go into women who've been so mistreated. Then they go into labor unions and coal miners. It was all a grievance museum, which is what the Smithsonian is doing, which is really kind of the foundation upon which we're complaining right now about this new museum. So why is it that you're so opposed to this? You have so many other things to cover. Why is this a hot button for you?
Because I care a lot about citizenship. I care a lot about national unity. I think what we're doing now for the last 7 months, and we have been doing now actually for the last two or three years, is reversing the advances that the left has made in cultural areas. I think the tragedy that we just witnessed as a country, as a nation, as a people, with the political assassination of Charlie Kirk, to demonstrate to us the fact that it was done on a U.S. campus and that his job was to change the minds and open the minds of students of campus, should tell you all you need to know. The fight today is in the culture. The fight today is to take back the cultural institutions, reverse the advances that the left has made in the last 20 or 30 years, take that terrain back, recapture it, and expel the left from these positions of power. And I think this Latino Museum is a textbook example of the left's long march through the institutions. I'm going to come out with a paper next week that shows chapter and verse on this. This is the brainchild of La Raza. La Raza, yes. As everybody knows, the National Council of La Raza is a far-left group established by the Ford Foundation in the late 1960s. And what it wanted to do was divide America and assimilation, and it scored many victories. La Raza has been behind this museum. La Raza led the commission that called for this museum in the 1990s, and then the task force that George W. Bush so unwisely signed. And I served George W. Bush. I'm very proud to have done so. But in 2008, when he signed this task force into being, he was very busy with other things. He was busy doing the surge in Iraq, and he just signed. This is ill-advised. And many Republicans are making this mistake today by funding this museum. This is a textbook example. This Latino museum is a textbook example of the left long march through the institutions. We need to have the long march back.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention La Raza, because I just did an interview with Kyle Scheidler on these violent riots and how violent the left is getting. This is before Charlie was assassinated this week. But I was remembering that even when I was on radio in Chicago in the mid-90s, La Raza was on the radar. And the whole idea was that they are radical leftists, Marxists, and they're proud about it. And they want America to give back Texas and California and New Mexico and other properties. And they blame us for everything. And ironically, I wish I had this clip. One of those protesters that was interviewed in Los Angeles at one of these riots sounded like she walked right out of the door from La Raza. She was spitting such venom against the country. But I wanted people to get an idea. So what are some of the ideas that you are seeing that they want to do or what they want to display or underscore at this museum, Mike?
Well, we already have a very good idea because they had its first exhibit. They don't have a building yet. So they had a first exhibit at the National History Museum at a gallery called the Molina Family Gallery. And the collection was called Presente. And it was a disgrace. It was disgraceful. It presented Hispanics, such as they are, as transsexual, as transgender, as what unites them is support for BLM. It talked about veterans only to mention an army deserter, and said that deserting from the U.S. Army was a higher calling. There was no room. It lied. It said the Texas Revolution was an effort to extend slavery. It said that the Cubans arrived here on these shores, for economic reasons. It did not mention political reasons at all whatsoever. These were all blatant lies. The museum is going to lie. It's already shown. The first exhibit is going to lie. After I and others wrote about this exhibit and said what a disgrace it was, the museum, the administrators eliminated, dismantled the second exhibit that was coming. And according to Time magazine, that second exhibit was going to be about the gangs of the 1960s and about how bad capitalism had been for American Hispanics. So there you have it, Sandy. Yeah. We know exactly what this museum is about. Everybody involved. He's a far-left activist. All the curators that we know of have been so far. And, in fact, sadly, if you look at the studies, all the professions associated with museum work are captured by the left as well. Curators are like 96% Democrat. Art historians, about the same thing, 94%, 95% progressive. I think collectors... No, restorers. Art restorers are 100% progressive. This is another example of how the left has captured these cultural institutions, and this is so important to take them back.
Well, you know what? Almost nothing makes me angrier. Well, that might be, but I'm telling you, all the years I lived in D.C., and anytime I go to these museums, Ford Theater, the bookstore, the productions they put on now, the old soldiers' home, everywhere you go, it is this stuff. And so I want to stop for a second. We did find that clip. This is a violent protester in Los Angeles. She's being interviewed randomly by a reporter. And this is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but I think she's La Raza-ish. Let's listen.
Stole the land from Mexico. Why do people come here from all over the world? Because the U.S. messed up their country more than it has done here. These are human beings, Trump and the regime are going after people with no due process, without the rule of law. They're just kidnapping people, and now they're sending them to foreign countries and concentration camps like Alligator, Alcatraz, and Guantanamo Bay, South Sudan. Like, when is enough enough? The Trump regime plays victim all the time, and they create lies in order to enforce a fascist program. And you know, it's completely illegitimate what they're doing, what they're claiming.
Thank you for sharing your passion with us. I appreciate it.
All right, that's enough. She says in an earlier clip, Mike, also, I'm sorry, it's just long, but she says she goes after capitalism also. So doesn't that sound like a little bit coming from the teachings of La Raza?
Well, I mean, I couldn't tell from that clip or the one previous whether she's a member of La Raza. But, of course, yes, the rhetoric that she used was a rhetoric that comes straight out of La Raza. So I see where you play the clip, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So in regard to the Smithsonian Institute museums, and I think you and I chatted at least via text about this or email, I am really concerned, Mike, that this whole business of twisting our history, and especially people don't even know what's true anymore. I think there's a move in the Trump administration to sort this out. And is that true? And do you know how effective it's being or what they have planned?
Yeah, no, the Trump administration has been very good on these matters, has been excellent on all these cultural matters. They have asked in their request to Congress, the budgetary request, they have asked that Congress zero out any spending on the Latino Museum, and it has reestablished the much better idea of the Smithsonian Latino Center, which is to take these artifacts and these displays and send them to the different 21 museums. The Smithsonian has 21 museums that are already in existence, that solves the problem of not segregating and creating the idea of this, you know, enshrining the idea of Latino existence, a Latino category, or Latinos as victims. In order to complete that, what would make it even better would be to then use artifacts and displays and exhibits that come from local museums. I think local museums tend to do a much better job. The museum in Edinburgh in the Rio Grande Valley is very, very good. It's devoted to Tejano culture, and it's a very enjoyable museum. The Cuban Museum in Miami, the Museum of the Cuban Diaspora, is a very good museum. These are real communities, not imagined communities. These are real communities that actually have a geographical setting. That do have music. There is Cuban music. There is no Latino music. It just doesn't exist.
Are you saying you'd be okay then? Are you saying you would be okay with a museum on the mall to whatever they call it, whatever word they use besides Latino, if it had these local museum approaches?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you could have the idea that Trump is reviving is the Latino Museum Center, the Smithsonian Latino Center, which is to send these artifacts to the different 21 museums, not to have a Latino museum. That idea is stupid. To send it to the 21 museum and exhibit them there, and you could have a for example, in the Museum of American History, you could have an exhibit on the people with Spanish surnames that fought at the Alamo on the side of the people that were on the side of Liberty, not on the side of Santa Ana. You could have, that would be history. You could have, for example, the stuff that you have at the Alamo on the families the 30 families from the Canary Islands that went and established San Antonio back in the 1700s. That is part of American history. That is not part of Latino history, which does not exist.
Yeah, that's good. That's a very good distinction. And before, I know that you have limited time, and I wanted to ask you about one more thing, Mike. On the mall, while I was last living in D.C., they were busy building the National Museum of African American History and Culture, which Obama pushed. And to me, I'm sorry, I'm not really filtering my emotions on this. It's a shameful thing. The mall is so beautiful, and the buildings are so elegant. I don't like it, and I don't like the fact that that President Obama made sure that Justice Clarence Thomas was no place in the museum. Just a few words about that and why that is kind of a gives us an idea of what the whole purpose is here for this Latino museum.
Yeah, I think it does, but I actually have a different take on the African American Museum. I was there last Friday.
Okay.
I just finished writing an op-ed about it. There is much more cohesion to African Americans that does not exist with Latinos. Latinos is invented. African Americans are a group that has suffered. We should talk about, you know, their contributions to American history should not be neglected. The contribution of slave labor to the making of the United States should not be neglected. And they might, you know, the museum does exist, so we have to just make it better. But the museum now makes very egregious mistakes. They promote falsehoods, false narratives or exaggerations that are anti-American right now. As I said, I'm going to publish something on this soon, pointing out some of the worst mistakes that is being made at the African American Museum. So I think that, again, what the Trump administration wants to do, which is to have a review of the top eight museums, including the African American Museum, is a very good one. Unfortunately, the Secretary of the Smithsonian, Lonnie Bunch III, has decided to resist it. The Democrats urged him to resist the idea of a review, and he's doing that. And I think that's very, very ill-advised.
Hey, Michael, thank you for softening my very bombastic remark. I absolutely agree the way you do, that African Americans, their history and their story is fascinating, and it's part of America. What I object to is a thing that does not match the visual on the mall. I think that's physically not good, and I certainly don't like the way they've twisted history inside the building. But if they could fix it, I agree with you. I really do. I just wish it weren't right there where it is. Maybe that's the least of our worries. But, Mike, hey, listen, the article that he wrote is, and we didn't even get to any of this, it's Defund the Smithsonian's Latino Museum, a woke indoctrination factory. And you can find that at Heritage. Mike, one last thing. This funding was in the big, humongous, beautiful bill, right? But they're trying to stop it. So it's not a done deal,
no,
is it?
No, it wasn't, no. It was in the appropriations committees have passed funding for the Latino Museum, but that has not passed Congress yet.
Okay, so it has some more steps to before it's a done deal. Hey, listen, it's great to talk to you. I'm sorry we're rushing, but I really appreciate your time this morning, and this is an interesting story. So thank you, Mike Gonzalez. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Talk to you soon. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
And the FDA finally approved the French abortion pill. And again, there's two pills. They okayed the first one, mifepristone, for chemical abortions up to 7 weeks. Later, that was extended to 10 weeks under Barack Obama. And then under Joe Biden, they opened the door to the FDA approving of mifepristone prescriptions online, through the mail, and without any kind of supervision. And the Supreme Court upheld that unanimous ruling just in 2024. It really is despicable. I'm telling you, it is despicable, given the number of injuries, 10% or so of women who have these chemical abortions, not to mention the loss of life, the trauma of delivering at home. It is a disgraceful thing that our country has done, but Preborn is trying to provide a redemptive way to stop it. They have a pill that can actually reverse that first pill, and the first one is mifepristone. So if a mother has second thoughts when she takes that first pill, if she gets to a Preborn clinic, they can stop that. But if she takes the second pill, which expels the baby, it's too late. And that's why we're trying to educate women, not educate. I hate that. Just really too sterile. We're trying to move their hearts by showing them their baby in utero through ultrasound. That's what Preborn does. That's the emotional trigger, which is genuine and real from the heart of God. That's a baby. And when women see that, they don't take these abortion pills. It stops it before it begins. But both things have to be addressed, and that's what Preborn does. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And please make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Before I leave you, I want to just give you another idea. This is what Mike Gonzalez writes in his article, Defund the Smithsonian's Latino Museum, a woke indoctrination factory. He further makes this point. The museum's director is Jorge Zamanillo. I don't know who he is. But under his leadership, this is what Mike writes. The museum's first exhibit doesn't just display an anti-American bias, but animus against Spain, the Catholic Church, betraying that its enemy is really Western civilization. A group of Spanish citizens wrote to Zamanillo last year expressing their concerns. His reaction? He treated them like an insolent rabble whom he had to put in their place. The exhibit would emphasize only the suffering of the colonial subjects, without centering explorers. The exhibit would emphasize only the suffering of the colonial subjects, quote, without centering explorers, conquistadores, and missionaries, end quote, wrote Zamanillo, in the language of the woke art history world. The exhibit said the letter intentionally showed only, quote, in historical injustices such as slavery, a creation of societal hierarchies, and U.S. manifest destiny. The indefensible outcome of European colonization was the usurpation of indigenous lands, willful and unintentional human genocide, intentional cultural erasure, and replacement. The stories of Latina and Latino ancestors who endured colonization take center stage. So you see where this is going. You see where this is going. This is what children are going to see for generations to come. And is this what we want? I don't think so. Well, I hope you found it as interesting as I did, and we'll follow this. Maybe there'll be more at an update at a later point, or when they introduce that Irish and British Museum and the Indian Museum of Indian Americans and Vietnamese Americans and put them all in the mall. The mall will really be a mall then. You could just go door to door to door to door without having any space between them. It will be just very American, won't it? Well, of course, that was tongue-in-cheek. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.